The law of Moses dealt with the heart. Did God want Abraham's heart right? Did God want Moses' heart right? And does he want our heart right? So think about that. I believe God has always wanted our heart in what we did for him. If you have your Bible, let's turn now to the book of Acts. Our lesson tonight will, for all of us, be a review. I don't see anyone that needs to obey the gospel, so I'm sure a lot came yesterday that they needed God's love in and God's love out, didn't they? So, three times in the history book of the New Testament, the question is asked. The Jews on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Were they asking, what shall we do to please God? What shall we do to be saved? Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 9, verse 6. This will be Saul of Tarsus, persecutor of the church. So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I thought I was doing God's will. What do I need to do to please God? What do I need to do to be saved?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I was also impressed with verse 9. "And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." You're blind. You're fasting. Verse 11. "So the Lord said to him," of course the Lord wants, we'll note later, Ananias to go, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying." Blind, fasting, praying. Now, I'm going to assume the one that most of us remember is in Acts 16, verse 30, the Philippian jailer. "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What do I need to do to please God, the real God, the true God? What do I need to be saved?'" In a lot of our church bulletins, we have the plan of salvation, don't we? I've noticed recently it's in our bulletin here at Sanford again. And I like the title, "God's Plan for Our Salvation." And again, we need to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, be faithful, live right. Is that what they need to do at Sanford? So they can hear the word "come" rather than the word "depart"? My observation is, and I'm all for it, we want to defeat ISIS. My opinion is, if we defeat ISIS, troops are going to have to go in. This artillery and aircraft or bombing's not going to do it. If troops go in, some are going to be killed, some are going to be wounded. Is Sanford going to be reached for Jesus? Now, I'm all for whatever we need to get their attention. But does it still follow members of the church at Sanford, including me, are going to have to go in and tell them? And then it's their decision. Do they want to please God or be saved? So think about that. Brian can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. It's going to take all of us. So, our review tonight. They need to hear. They need to believe. They need to repent. They need to confess. And yes, they need to be baptized. And then that's just the beginning. So, I brought with me one of the bulletins we receive in the mail from the Geyer Springs Church of Christ. What must I do to be saved? Now, there might be many ways to say the same thing. Hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Believe the word of God. John chapter 8. Verse 24, repent of your sins, Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And then, I don't think you're going to be surprised, be baptized or be immersed for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And I would add, then be faithful, live right, and so on. Let's just quickly look at those verses. Now, I don't care what verses you come up with. My thesis is, though, you need to know a verse for each one of these things. So, here, let's turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not just anything. I have to confess, one commercial says, here's the one you need to vote for. Next commercial says, no, you don't. So who do you believe? And both sides say the other's unfit to be president. So who do you believe? So, a lot of things to hear. We turn now to John chapter 8, verse 24. And these are the words of Jesus. My Bible, it's red letter. Chapter 8, verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Again, let me encourage you. Read the chapters. Our introduction, Acts 2. Conversion of the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Luke gives the conversion of Saul in Acts 9. And then later, Paul tells the story of his conversion in Acts 22 and 26. Chapter 22, to a mob. They had their way, they'd kill him. Had been for the Roman troops in Jerusalem, they would have succeeded, wouldn't they? Then, think in chapter 26, he's before a king, King Agrippa, the Roman governor, Festus, some of the influential people of the town. I wonder sometimes, do we make things harder than they need to be? Paul just told the angry Jews, let me tell you about my conversion to Jesus. He told Agrippa, and Festus and the others, let me tell you about my conversion to Jesus. Can you tell someone about your conversion? Let's turn now to Luke 13. And I'm going to read the immediate context here. But verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's Jesus. Repent or perish. Repent or be lost. Change your mind to be saved. I still believe sometimes we need to repeat things. So in verse 5, we have Jesus repeating the same thing. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, to me, these verses come alive. Let's begin at verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. There some from Galilee. The Roman governor, Pilate, did this. And Jesus answered and said to them, verse 2, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? Then we have verse 3. I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Verse 4, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Now, if we're not careful, our nature would be, well, that was good enough for the Galileans. That was good enough for those in Jerusalem. That's not me. But then again, Jesus repeats it. I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So, hear, believe, repent. Now let's go back to Romans 10. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now remember, it helps me to think about the book of Romans. Do you want to please God? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? That's chapters 1 through 8. Many of the Jews, they did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of God. What about them? Are they now, in their unbelief, pleasing God? Are they saved? Are they going to go to heaven? So our thesis was the Jews in Rome needed to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. The Romans in Rome needed to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. And as our application is tonight, all of us, we need to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized or immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, at one time, I just knew Acts chapter 2, verse 38. As I look at it now, that was shallow. There's a lot in Acts chapter 2 we need to know. And I would not even claim I know everything about Acts 2. But that's a good verse. But we need to know some other verses too. Now, in our time, how did Peter answer the question the Jews in Pentecost asked? How did Ananias answer the question that Paul asked, Saul of Tarsus? How did Paul and Silas answer the question that the jailer asked? So, in Sanford, when they asked, "What must I do? What must I do to be saved?" What would Peter have them do? What would Ananias have them do? What would Paul and Silas have them do? Now I'm still asking, what did the Jews in Acts 2 have to repent of? Acts 2 says they were devout. What did they have to repent of? Let me suggest two things. In general, they need to change their thinking about Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of God. And then some that were from Jerusalem had actually cried, "Crucifying!" That's what we want you to do to this Jesus of Nazareth. Put him to death. Crucify. Was that right or wrong? Did they need to repent of that? Change their mind. Instead of Jesus being crucified, he needs to be exalted and honored and glorified as our prophet, priest, and king. Let me read the immediate context, beginning at verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus." Now, Acts 2 will tell you that's Jesus of Nazareth. "Whom you crucified, men crucified. But God has made him Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, you mean I killed the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of God? That Jesus of Nazareth was the one that God sent? Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, when you study Acts 2, does this question indicate they believed? Now let's read verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is it possible that Peter told the believers, well, you need to repent and be baptized? Is that the answer we need to tell people in Sanford? Oh, I believe in Jesus. Have you repented? Have you been baptized? Now let's go to Acts 9. Remember, Saul of Tarsus thinks he's doing the will of God by trying to get rid of the followers of Jesus. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Saul thought he had been right. Now he realized, hey, I've been wrong. I'd tremble at that, wouldn't you? I'd be astonished at that. I thought I was right, but in God's eyes, I was wrong. Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now, as you read chapters 9, 22, and 26, did Saul believe in Jesus on the road? Someone that's blind, that's fasting and praying, would that indicate someone that is repenting? Now, Jesus said, go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Is he willing now to listen to Jesus? Is he willing to believe in Jesus? Is he willing to change his thinking about Jesus? Anything else he needs to do? Let's turn out Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Are these the words of Ananias to a penitent believer? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Well, if he already believes and is penitent, has his sins been washed away or forgiven? Calling on the name of the Lord. So, did Saul of Tarsus not only need to hear and believe and repent, but Ananias told him, now the Lord wants you to be baptized. Let's turn now to Acts 16, and I'll read verses 30 through 34. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Now think of his question, verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now when you read the entire chapter, was he a pagan? Would the answer in verse 31 then be the right answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if he was a pagan, he believed in many gods, many lords, many goddesses. Now he needs to believe in the true God and the one that God sent, the Lord Jesus. Verse 32. Why did that teaching take place? Didn't we read earlier somewhere in Romans chapter 10, verse 17? Faith comes by hearing, not just hearing anything, but the word of God. You suppose they taught him the word of God? Did he change his thinking? Let's go back and read 23 and 24. And when they had laid many stripes on them, I would say ouch to just one. But when you read the chapter, they're beating them with rods. They don't care what the law of Moses taught. Not over 40. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge. He put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, did you listen carefully to the reading? First part of 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Let me help your bleeding back. And then first part of 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. First of all, I'm sure your stripes are hurting. Let me render first aid treat. You must be hungry. Let me set food before you. His allegiance now is going to be to Jesus, isn't it? And how does the last part of 33 read? And immediately, he and all his family were baptized. Our thesis tonight, this is what we need to share with our friends and neighbors and relatives in San. They want to be saved. They want to please God. They want to go to heaven. How does the book of Acts answer the question? So, again, for all of us tonight, this was a review. Is this what God wants? We have a hymn of encouragement. If you need to come, we hope you will at this time.